John Arelli. I'm the senior pastor here, and I will be engaging in a sermon on signs and wonders in the Holy Spirit. But before that, I want to introduce you to a live sign and wonder in this world. Shay, would you come up for just a moment? This is Shay So. Welcome, Shay. So Shay's in our small group, and we were just discussing the other night, and she, just in passing, was talking about a story in the office where you work. Can you, first of all, tell people where you work.
I work for an oncologist, a medical oncologist, so we infuse chemotherapy.
And so you're an RN, you work in this cancer clinic, and how long have you been at this cancer clinic?
Almost 7 years.
But recently, the doc came up to you and said something that kind of surprised you. Tell us about that conversation.
So we're about to leave, and she came up to me and said, you know, Shay, I've seen a change in you in the last 6 months. You smile, and you greet me with kindness, and I see how you treat other people a lot more differently, with a lot more kindness, and I get very emotional when I talk in public, sorry. And so she gave me a hug and said thank you, and then I went to small group, and then during small group, it's when I realized, oh, I started coming to church about 6 months ago. I accepted Jesus in my life 6 months ago.
So this was kind of a surprise to you, your doc saying, hey, I just want to let you know, you've been here for 7 years, but 6 months ago, something changed. Yeah. And it's not that you're not a compassionate person, and you wouldn't be working in a cancer clinic if you weren't a compassionate person. You've been through some ups and downs in your life, and I would bet that you've just been more empathetic for other people and that kind of thing. But for you, what's it been like, if you were to reflect on your own life and go, oh, somebody knows something, what's it been like for you? How do you think your life has been different over the last 6 months?
Well, I think I'm more patient. and I feel happier. I feel safer. Wow. I feel less lonely. So when I was young, you know, we've always been taught that there's a God and everything, but we didn't really go to church. And then as I grew up older, a lot of stuff happened, and I completely lost every faith. I was very, very self-destructive. I understand what you guys are going through. I really commend what you guys are going through, because I went through so much. And, you know, but I was very driven. I got my nursing license, but I was still self-destructive. Not to disclose too much, but I almost lost my license. But I worked really hard. Then I found something, like, something out there was with me. Wow. And that's what got me through. And then I had my son. He was like a miracle to me. And I think because of him, I started working even harder and being a better person. But I know that I struggled a lot at work because I didn't have a lot of interpersonal skills. I was very stubborn. I was very brash. And I was just not a very easy person to get along with. And I remember screaming and yelling a lot, very frustrated a lot. And my doctor and I, we butted head a lot. We were always screaming at each other, yelling at each other. It was not a very good relationship for a very long time. And so we came a long way where I started learning how to treat others the way I want to be treated. And then I started coming to church to find something. I wanted to find something. And that's when I said, you know what? I need to invite Jesus into my life. And I just feel different. The first couple months, not so much, but slowly, going to small groups, interacting with people here, doing service, I just feel different. Peaceful, I think.
You guys, you can give glory to God. It's okay. This is real. This power that's in your life is real. And as you're talking about it, it just seems like, yeah, it's just my life has changed. And I go, there's a whole world. Each one of us has friends that lives in this kind of reality where it's just sort of half-baked with expectations that life would just be, and we'd fight with our bosses and just whatever. And life changes when Jesus comes in. And that's all it takes. It's just him. Would you guys just extend a hand to Shay this morning? God, I thank you so much for what you've done. This is your doing. And so we just bless what you're doing in Shay. And we say, more, Lord. More, Lord. All the love and the joy and the peace, the sense of loneliness that's gone, everything that you have brought into her life, we just say, more, Lord. And God, and Shay, here, would you extend your hand to these guys? That everything that you've done in Shay that you would give to us. And that not only you would give to us, but you would overflow in us for the sake of our communities, for our workplaces, for our neighbors. Make what you've done in Shay just over, just your spirit, God, everything that you've done, do it in us and in our communities. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you.
Today's about signs and wonders when the Holy Spirit comes. Signs and wonders. Well, that seems like a great one, don't you think?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you've received Jesus over the last 6 months. Just raise your hand if you've decided to follow Jesus over the last 6 months. Signs and wonders in this room. This is real. When life changes because Jesus has come in, that's real. That's a sign and wonder. And you know why? It's because the dominion of God has taken over the dominion of evil. And it doesn't mean that, oh, you're an evil person if you don't follow Jesus. But if the king of the universe is not on the throne of your life, then something else is. By default, we serve a master in this world because we're all going to die. We serve survival. We serve need for finances. We serve insecurities. We serve loneliness. And unless Jesus is on the throne of our lives, those become our masters. Well, today I want to talk about the signs and wonders that come when the Holy Spirit comes. If you don't remember anything from today, I'd like you to remember that God's signs and wonders are part of his nature. To limit them is to limit who he is. God's signs and wonders are part of his nature. To limit them is to limit who he is. So I grew up in a home that believed in the signs and wonders. So when we say signs and wonders, what are we talking about? Well, I'm talking about, and in the healthiest of contexts, it's when God gets his way. We see signs and wonders. But growing up in the 80s, there was a powerful movement of what they called televangelists. And I grew up, before school every morning, watching a gentleman called Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn works in signs and wonders. But like most televangelists in the 80s, there's always been a bit of a sidetrack of like wealth and prosperity that's been a bit distracting. And so while I love the signs and wonders and people coming up on stage and falling down under the power of the Spirit, I was also distracted by like gold toilets and that kind of stuff that came out of that movement. And so I was a skeptic. God, he's throwing his jacket at somebody and they're falling down. What's that? I knew God was real. I had felt his power. And I knew there was stuff going on out on stage that was real, but I was distracted. I was a skeptic. And so for most of my life, I've been trying to co-discern, God, what are you doing when people are doing what I don't like them to do, and yet your power is moving through them? It's still continuing today. If you've seen any news reports of an evangelist asking for $54 million for a new jet, and you go, God, I don't want to damn a man for asking for money for a jet, and yet I don't think that's part of, God, would you explain to me how this man is working for you? And so we walk through that kind of stuff when we disagree with how people's behavior is. And yet we recognize God's power is still at work in the world doing signs and wonders. And so that's how I enter into this. When I talk about signs and wonders in the Holy Spirit, it begins in skepticism. I don't know if that's what you really do, God. And if you do it, I don't know if you do it like that. And I become a bit weary, too, over the years. In fact, I grew up in a church after my grandfather retired. We were in his church for a time. And by the way, my grandfather had plenty of stories of signs and wonders, and he was a humble, wonderful tomato gardening man. There was a story my mother tells very clearly, and I heard it straight from his mouth as well. He was leading a Bible study in his home, and someone broke into his house in the middle of Bible study, came at him with a knife, and he extended his hand, and he said, "In the name of Jesus." And the man fell on his knees, vomited all over the floor, and received the Holy Spirit, was completely reconciled, and everything was fine for the day, except they needed to clean up the vomit. That's just what happens. Again, Jesus, is this really how you deal with the world? And yet, I think if anybody in here is a follower of Jesus, if you count yourself in that evangelical sphere, if you believe that God's real and operates in this world, we have to take a moment and go, oh, you're a supernatural God. In fact, the Psalms speak to this. This is Psalm 103:17. It begins with the Lord's commitment, but the Lord's commitment lasts from age to age for people who hold him in awe, who recognize that he has supernatural nature, and his faithfulness to their grandchildren, to people who keep his covenant and are mindful of his orders so that they perform them. Here, there's already an invitation to perform God's works. There's an interaction, an expectation of God's wonders being involved in our normal daily lives. The Lord established his throne in the heavens. His reign rules over everything. I'm going to read that again. The Lord established his throne in the heavens. His reign rules over everything. So let's just get this settled for just a moment. God's rule and reign is not in this tactile instrument of a chair. It's in the heavens. But my enlightenment-taught, very thoughtful, skeptic mind, as I'm supposed to be, right? I'm an American. I am hardworking, and I have control over all things, don't I? I can throw this chair if I want to. I won't. That would be violent. But there's an engagement in which I must begin to recognize I rely on being able to pick this thing up. And God rules in the heavens, in a sphere of influence that's so beyond my ability to pick this up that I better get ready to have my mind blown. If we're not ready to have our minds blown by God's rule and reign, then we're not willing to receive God for who he is. God's signs and wonders are part of his nature, and to limit them is to limit who he is. If we expect him to limit himself by my own modern age expectations of what he might do, then all I really want is my own way. We have to submit in a way that we recognize that signs and wonders are what God lives in. He lives in the realm of heaven, the realm of signs and wonders. When he tells angels to go, they go. Angels, have you seen one? There's a sign and wonder at work here. The scripture talks over and over again about when he speaks, the earth shakes. I've never shaken the earth with my voice. I have a very loud voice. I've never done that. This is a sign and wonder, an expectation that God works in a sphere that's beyond my own. Worship the Lord, his aides, mighty warriors, performing his word, listening to the sound of his word. Worship the Lord, all his armies, his ministers, doing his will. Worship the Lord, all his works, in the places where he rules. Worship the Lord, my heart. And so we take just a moment to say, God's ways are beyond my ways, and I have to take a moment to submit in awe that what he can do is beyond my expectations for how the world works. I need oxygen. God doesn't. I need finances to pay the mortgage. He does not. I need to use my words in order to have interaction with people so that we have relationship. His spirit moves, and relationship is established. Signs and wonders are part of who God is. So what does it mean for us to engage that way? Well, let's look at Jesus for just a moment. You would think that Jesus would have an understanding, being God in the flesh and yet human. He would say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. This is John 14, 12. Anyone who trusts in me will also do the works that I'm doing. In fact, they will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is not how our normal relationships work. Victor, I would like for my relationship with my family to be really healthy. Would you do that for me? Google Home is a wonderful thing. If you have a Google instrument or a phone or something, you say, Google, would you clean my room? Google does this fantastic thing. It makes this wand waving sound, and Google says, is it done yet? When Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, this is signs and wonders stuff. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. This other helper is the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive him because it doesn't see or know him. Do you see what's happening here? The world can't receive him because the modern expectations of how wonders and signs work are outside of the sphere of their expectation. The world doesn't see him, doesn't know him, doesn't taste him, doesn't touch him. And so the expectation that life would be made miraculously better by him is out of their sphere of expectation. But you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. I think what may be hard to recognize, and especially for y'all that have had a new relationship begun with Jesus, is that he really is supernatural. I think some of us receive Jesus because we want our life to be better, and I think that's great. But I think what we never expect is that the life of God would move through us in ways that we never expected. But I want more peace, and he does give peace, but it's because he works in a realm of signs and wonders that blow us away. It overthrows any other rule or reign that we had in our hearts because it's supernatural. It's beyond. So it's hard for me to work like this. Even as a pastor, I need to work with rules and expectations so that nobody gets hurt. That's my whole rule of life. First, do no harm. I've taken on the doctor's Hippocratic oath, first, do no harm, as a pastor. And it really doesn't help things because it limits what God could do. But this year was different when we set the budget of the church. Usually, I'm like the dreamer and risker as the senior pastor. My board is like, settle down. And this was different. We were back in October and November praying about the budget, setting a couple days, worshiping together, asking God what he wanted. And I said, I don't know. I think God wants to do this. And the board was like, yeah, that's what he wants to do. And I went, no, you're not supposed to say that. And we worked through the budget again. And all of a sudden, it got out of my own expectation of a safety zone. Usually I think, okay, giving has been this year. We have this much savings. Let's not budget beyond that. That would be dangerous. And we were already far beyond that when I said, oh, but I think we need to do this one more thing. And they went, oh, yeah. And I went, no, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to go, oh, you know what? If we want that, we should cut this. And instead they said, sure, let's do it all. And I went, no. And then Jesus reminded me, hey, you asked me to live in my signs and wonders. You wanted to risk. So here you go. And there we went. And about March, I sent out the most mature email that I think I ever have to our board and our new board, because we've added board members since then. And I said, hi, friends. The church will end on this date financially. as it looks right now, we are burning through all of our savings. This is what we were supposed to do. I just want to let you know it's happening, that in our normal realm of expectation, as of July, when the rent is due for the museum for the next 6 months, when Derek and Amanda are set to go out, and by the way, I'm going on vacation that week, the church will end. We will have no more money left for anything, and all the new things that we started will come to a screeching halt and explode in a ball of flames. And I said, but this is a great time for prayer and faith. And for the next couple of weeks, I didn't shake my hands at God. I just kind of laughed at him, like, look what you got yourself into. And I'm blaming you for this. I just want to let you know, when this goes down in July, I'm blaming you. So let's go. And it was 2 weeks after that, a friend of mine who didn't know, nobody else knew. Y'all didn't know. It was just the board that knew about the situation. And a friend started giving an enormous amount of money each week. Like, I don't have that much money in my life. How are you just giving it to the church every week? That kind of amount of money. And I went, okay, we're not going to die in March. Maybe April will die. And then another friend of mine from outside the church gave it a gift of $4,000. And I went, how? I don't have that. How are you able to just give that money? And I thought, okay, well, maybe April and a half we will die. And then someone else gave a gift. It was like $6,000. And I'm thinking, what on earth is going on, God? By all trajectories, we were to end on this date. And then somebody else said, oh, by the way, I don't want to give my money to the government. Here's some shares of stock. It ended up being $11,500. And we just received it this past week. This is what life is supposed to be with, like, God. And in my modern measure, trying to keep things safe, not wanting to be embarrassed, life, it's a very hard thing to do. But friends, when the church was supposed to end and we laid our lives down and we say, bring signs and wonders to the church financially, the bill is paid. I wrote the check this past week. We'll have the museum. It was $11,000. We'll have the museum through December. Done. Our savings account for everything that we need to send out Live Oak Vineyard is full. And beyond that, we have like a month of expenses in the bank account right now. I was supposed to be giving my sermon of, we leaned in faith, and that's not what God's doing today. Sermon, today. I was supposed to give that sermon today so that next week we could have a goodbye museum service. That's what it looked like in March. Acts 5:12 says, many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles among the people. They were all together in Solomon's porch while none of the others dared to join them, though the people spoke highly of them, but more people, a crowd, both men and women, believed in the Lord and were added to their number. They used to bring the sick into the streets and place them on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he went. Crowds gathered in towns in Jerusalem, bringing people who were sick, infested with unclean spirits. All of them were cured. I went to a UPS because I had to write the UPS people and say, yeah, we'll take the stock. And before I left, I said to the lady that was handling all, hey, can I pray for you? And she said, sure. And I didn't know what for. She wouldn't say what for. I said, okay, God, bless her. And her whole body changed. And she said, wow. And it was not a good prayer. She said, wow, my whole day is completely changed. I was in the mall because something broke and I needed it fixed. People do that at the mall somewhere. And I was on the escalator and I saw this man going down and I stopped and I said, there's something wrong with your knee. He said, yeah. Like, and he looked at me like, it's none of your business. There's something wrong with my knee. I said, I'm sorry. I'm trying to listen to God and do what he's doing. Do you mind if I pray for your knee? He's like, okay. And I prayed for his knee and nothing happened. I said, can I pray one more time? Sure. Nothing happened. I'm sorry, I know that, and you could tell he was frustrated with me. Can I pray for you one more time? He said, fine. And I prayed for him. I said, okay, nothing happened. I'm going to give you my card. This is really pushing it. I'm going to give you my card. If anything changes with your knee, would you get in touch with me? And 3 weeks later, I got an email. And I totally forgot about him because I wanted to put him out of my mind because I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed that, like, God would put me in this awkward situation. I was mad at God. If I forget about that, God and I can still have a relationship. But I remembered after we sent the email, he said, I just returned to Mexico. I just want to let you know my knee is completely healed. The Psalms talk about his signs and wonders. Jesus talks about his signs and wonders. And when the church begins, all they do is signs and wonders. Let me tell you, though, if you read Acts, there's like 40 stories of like signs and wonders happening around the church. Of the 40, 39 of those stories are when they're not in the temple, when they're not in Solomon's porch. They're out on the street. They're in the escalators, they're in the park, under the bridge. For a lot of you, I would guess that you feel like you have to ramp yourself up for these moments. John Wimber, who was a powerful guy in the vineyard when it started, someone asked him, when they were invited to go to a conference where John was speaking, and John did lots of signs and wonders, so this guy that went with him really wasn't accustomed to this stuff, felt kind of intimidated, saw all the signs and wonders happen, and then afterwards said, so how do you prepare? Like, how much fasting do you do? Like, how much do you flog yourself? Like, what, you know, you read scripture for 40 days before you do this meeting? And John said, I had a Diet Coke. When we follow Jesus, it's just supposed to be. It's not that we become supermen and women to be part of God's signs and wonders. It's that we become children. Because signs and wonders are part of who he is. We just become more of his. And his signs and wonders flow. Jesus said in Mark 16, go into all the world. Announce the message to all creation. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be rescued. But if they don't, they'll be condemned. And these signs will happen around those who believe. Raise your hand if you believe in Jesus. These signs and wonders will happen around those who believe. Just because you're his. They'll drive out demons in my name. They'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't harm them. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they'll get better. This is what happens around those who believe, not because people are amazing, but because God is who he is. He is the God of signs and wonders. It's just part of who he is. And when we are adopted in by Jesus into that sphere, that's what we get. It's just him. It's just part of him. Most of us, I think, are expecting that when someone were to rule and reign, if we go and follow somebody, that we would just get what they say in the most normal, tactile experiences possible. Lunch, we'll get fed, security, all those things. Presidents have expectations on them. And so we expect that those kinds of things would happen. But with God, because he's God and ruler over everything, our expectations need to change from limited changes to supernatural signs and wonders type of changes. He needs to become God. Before the end of today, I want to address something, and it's what I began with. It's the cynicism, and this is what Satan tries to do. From the beginning of time and all through all the stories in the scriptures, the first thing that I experience and that you have probably experienced is that Satan tempts us to question that this would really be true. Can God really do signs and wonders? And if you've questioned that, welcome to the party. Satan tempts everyone. You're not special. You're just a child of God. That's what he does. And then he'll try to contradict it, like he did with Adam and Eve. Well, did God really say he'd do signs and wonders? Or is that just, does it mean that there'll be like good eye doctors that help people get healed from blindness? That's what that means. So if you have felt that contradiction, welcome to the party. And then the deception happens. Well, you know, you probably don't want to try that signs and wonders stuff. You're going to be weirded out. People aren't going to like God. Just don't do that. If you felt that before, welcome to the party. Satan's work is as an individual tempter. He comes at us one after one after one. Best case scenario for us as followers of Jesus, as children of God, is to come together often like this and be reminded and bolstered up that each one of us say, hey, no, actually, this stuff is real. That we hear testimonies like Shay gave this morning, like, no, actually, for 7 years, her character was good, but it wasn't awesome. And then for 6 months since she'd followed Jesus, her doc noticed a difference. That's real. God actually does change people's hearts. She didn't try any harder. It was just Jesus. Because we're God's kids, we naturally enjoy a connection with our Creator. We shouldn't just get down on ourselves because we lose hope or that we're tempted. This is part of what it is. But the other part is that he will actually use us, even with really bad prayers. You know what? Sometimes, especially with really bad prayers. The way that signs and wonders broke out in our movement as a vineyard was when a pastor was so tired, he got called to somebody's house because a wife was sick in bed, and he said, be healed in Jesus' name. He was so blown out. For a year, they had been just trying to let God move in their church, and people just gotten more sick. And he was so blown out, he said, oh, just be healed in Jesus' name. And he started talking to the husband saying, you know, sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. And the wife gets up while they're talking, makes the bed, and starts making breakfast for all of them. Because of the way we've been raised, because we're often challenged with being the person that takes care of everything. Each one of us has a family we worry about, and so we've got to be really ready to take care of them. All of that stuff limits us by putting a skepticism in our heart that says, I don't know if I can really do this. There's so many trials and so many things that need to be taken care of. And God goes, just be you. Have a Diet Coke and pray. Stop and just allow yourself to be used. You're my child. I love you. And if you're ever disappointed, then you're disappointed with me. I'm your dad. The other side of the challenge, and it's funny, a yoga instructor had to tell me this. I've had two yoga instructors in my life that have revealed something about the Spirit. She said, you know, people probably aren't operating in the Spirit in your church because they're afraid that if they start getting close to Jesus, that the satanic stuff in their life will start being exposed. So let me just tell you, I have never felt better than when the Holy Spirit came and exposed demonic stuff in my life and then got rid of it. I've never had more freedom, more life, more happiness. And so if there are those of you who are here that are just kind of afraid of your own thoughts, like you don't want to engage with God because you're afraid of what might be revealed, welcome to the party. But in order for this to change, each one of us has to begin to ask a question. If God is king, will we give ourselves to him? Will we give ourselves to him, or will we hold on to that kind of control, kind of fade bounds, cramped in, stressed out, I don't know, fear? Or will we let him be who he is? If we do have issues, will we believe that because God works in the realm of wonders, that he can take care of stuff all the way in the past and make me brand new today? That he can do that. I don't have to worry about it all coming out and making a mess. He can take care of me. I can trust him to love me through all the stuff that I'm afraid of. Will we give him permission? Would you stand with me, please? I think God wants to do something in this room. But I think it begins with a simple prayer. And it may seem odd, but I think each one of us has something inside of us that doesn't allow God to be who he is. And so would you pray this prayer with me today? Lord, if you want to do something more in my life, then I give you permission to do it. And would you just sit in that for just a moment? Would we keep that question up on the screen for me? I just want to let some time to just between you and God. Lord, if you want to do something more in my life, then I give you permission to do it. Do we have that slide? Some of you here just need to confess, God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of you moving in my life. Some of you even more, Lord, I'm sorry for not letting you move in my life. Lord, if you want to do something more in our lives, then we give you permission to do it. Holy Spirit, come. Meet us where we are, as we are. Love us as your children. Give us all that we need. I don't want to end the service because I feel like God still has stuff that he wants to do. And so for those of you who need to leave, I want to allow you to leave. For those of you who want to receive communion before you leave, there's tables available for you. Gluten-free crackers representing the body and blood of Jesus offered for you. And you're welcome to take a gluten-free cracker and dip it in the juice and receive Jesus in a palpable way, a reminder of his provision for us. For those of you who need to leave, I want to bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that you would receive the Lord's justice, security, prosperity from the God of the universe through his signs and wonders, and that you would be his children displaying his signs and wonders to the world. I bless you in Jesus' name. Please feel free to receive, and then if you need to be on your way, don't hesitate to be on your way, but if God's doing something more, if that question, God, if you want to do something more in my life, then I give you permission to do it. If God's still working on you with that, give yourself some time and space to do that. Prayer teams are available right now as well. You're welcome to be a part of what's going on there. We've just got a few more minutes that the children's ministry can have your kids, and it'll be okay. This question, Lord, if you want to do something more in my life, then I give you permission to do that. If you're dealing with that question right now, would you just raise your hand? If God's working on you, can we just have a couple of people address those people with their hands raised? Pray with them. One in the back there. We have a couple people around. Anybody else? Lord, if you want to do something more in my life, then I give you permission to do that. Raise your hand if that's you. You're dealing with that question right now. For the rest of you, Jesus, his disciples said, Jesus, how do we pray? And he had a simple prayer to teach them. And if you're still here with me, would you pray this prayer? And with that, I'll dismiss you. They're in Spanish and in English here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.